Radio.
An integrated approach to life. A talk by Trish McCarthy at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
So when I was putting this together, I was thinking, well, what's my reason for doing what I do? And I heard prayer at the start of Mass the other day, and it was, Father, keep us free from adversity in mind and body so that we can pursue the things of God. And for me, that put into context why it is I do what I do. And I have a pretty good understanding of why I do what I do. It's just one of those things when you encounter God, when you encounter the realness of God in your life, as you guys have, that's why you're here, you can't be helped but moved to respond to that, can you? When you encounter real love, you can't help but be moved to respond. It touches your heart, it touches your soul, it touches something in place much deeper than just our everyday life. It kind of snaps you out of that ordinariness and takes you to a place somewhere quite extraordinary. One of the this is about integrating all those parts of ourselves. One of the things that you would already know, and I want to make this point too. One of the things that I don't strive to do is to tell you stuff that you don't already know. Part of my job is to remind you of what you already know, that's written into the very fabric of your being. God's written it there. So you can unravel that and explore that yourself. To remind you of what you already know, or to inspire you to dig a little deeper. Okay? So that's my job here today. Some of the stuff you will have already heard before, and you go, oh yeah, I know that. And it's easy to do that, and that's okay. One of the things I encourage you to do is to take a fresh perspective on some of the things that I say and look at it from the perspective of what's new in terms of what you notice, what you appreciate, or what you believe. Can you do that for me? All right. So you would know from your own experiences. Oops. See, this, I'm not actually going to use this because... I'm not actually going to use that because I'm terrible with it. You would know from your own experiences that there's three parts to our experience, our being, isn't it? What are they?
Mind.
Yep.
Body.
Our mind.
Body.
And soul. I'm just going to represent it like that. And sometimes we find ourselves, sometimes out of necessity, but sometimes we find ourselves operating out of one over the other, or very much living in our body. And that's those times when... you know, everything's about me, about fulfilling my happiness and fulfilling my needs and all that kind of thing. Sometimes we live out of our mind. And sometimes you notice that when you're getting overwhelmed, or you're getting anxious, or you're getting, you know, feeling a bit fearful, all that kind of stuff. When we're living too much out of our mind, there's some of the things that that happen. When we're living purely out of our spirit, out of our heart, our soul, we become a little bit detached from everyday life, don't we? We you know, you get that kind of on that... Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So what we're going to try and do is to live from this place here as much as we can, that centre place. And that's, again, that's not always possible, but it's about, for me, living from that place is when I'm living most authentically and most genuinely. I think that's one of the greatest gifts that as young people you appreciate and that others appreciate in you. And authenticity, when you're living authentically, when you're living a genuine Christian life, then it starts to touch other lives and impact other people. And that's what we're here to do as disciples, aren't we? So, does anyone study Japanese? Ah! You might recognise this symbol. Again, I'm not the best drawer in the world, okay? So forgive my artistic ability. Let me just draw this for a second.
Do you recognise that symbol?
It's the Japanese symbol for busy, and it's made up of two characters. The one on the left is heart, and the one on the right is destruction or lose. There's a lot to learn in and amidst our cultures, and when we're attentive to things in our daily life. And a lot of some of the things that I was talking about today is about being attentive to what's going on in your daily life. One of our beautiful popes said, God comes to us in the things we know best and can verify most easily. The things of our everyday life, apart from which we cannot understand ourselves. And what do we know more better, what can we verify more easily than our everydayness? Than the experiences of embodiment, where God meets us in the flesh. So again, some of the things that we're talking about today is about tapping into us as whole beings, mind, body and spirit, mind, body and heart, and learning to seek and understand God in those things. And in doing that, we discover ourselves, we start to nurture those three areas and really start to live life to the full. My hope for you guys here is that you're encouraged as you go from here to live life to the full. Not just out of one aspect or the other, having a really great prayer life, that's great. But what are you putting in your body to fuel your missionary desire? I'm going to have a look at some of those things as well. So that's my next point. The three things that I want to touch on with you today is rest, refuel, and recreate. Every three nice easy words that we can remember. To rest, refuel, and recreate. I'm just working out how I'm going to best do this. So give me a moment. One of the things that you would notice is that our God is a God of order, isn't it? We don't randomly have night time pop up in the middle of the day. We don't wake up and the sun's blaring through our windows, unless you had late night and you're not up until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then that happens. But there's an order, there's a natural flow of our lives and of our days. And one of the things I want to encourage you in terms of this point of rest is tapping into that natural daily cycle that we have. Now, quite often people think that our day starts at... I was going to say 6 a.m, but that's probably not a reality for you guys. That our day starts at 9 o'clock a.m. when we get out of bed. Yeah? For those uni students. But I want to suggest to you that our day actually starts the night before. And what you do in preparation for the coming day, in that 6 till 10 p.m. period, impacts how you enter into your day. So, let me give you a few examples of what's going on in our bodies or what's happening at these certain times. So in the evening, between those times of 6 and 10 p.m, that's when our body's starting to wind down. You notice even in the natural world, all the flowers start to close up, don't they? They close down for the evening, getting ready for what's going to take place over the evening. So that's probably one of the most important times of our evening. What we do in that time, between dinner time and bedtime, is going to impact how you get into your day. Between those hours of 10 and 2 in the evening, your body's detoxing. It's de-stressing, it's rejuvenating, and it's revitalising. These are really key things that your body needs to do. And sleep, rest, we're actually the only living being that completely zonks out when we sleep. Did you know that? that we're completely unconscious when we sleep. We're the only living being that does that. And there's a reason for it, because our body needs to get rid of the things that have accumulated during the day so that we can wake up refreshed and ready to jump into our day. And it's not just breaking down those things that we've eaten, it's not just all that kind of stuff. It's actually our mental capacity as well, in terms of digesting some of those emotions that we've felt during the day. If you've had a really stressful day, if you've had a really emotional day, then that's the time of the evening, our sleep time, that our body's breaking down those things and freeing us up to jump into our morning. That early morning from 2 till 6 a.m., That's our lowest level of functioning. That's when we have our really cool dreams. Who's had a really cool dream lately? So that's a again, that's a really that really deep sleep kind of time. In that morning time from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m, that's when we're starting to rev up. We're really starting to rev up our bodies. A lot of people talk about that notion of having a really big, hearty breakfast in the morning. But essentially what that does, if you can imagine you've got a little fire, in terms of your energy stores, in terms of your metabolism, you've got a little fire that's just trickling away, it's been trickling away over the night. And you come along, it's like a massive, big log, and just go boom. You imagine it just snuffs it out, yeah? So the idea is in that morning that we start to eat a little bit lighter and we start to build up and have our main meal in the day. You notice a lot of religious orders do that, don't they? They have their main meal in the day in order to sustain them for the afternoon. So that's an important aspect of building up. This is all contributing to our rest, yeah, and coming into life from a place of rest. Again, that period between 2 and 6 p.m., good time to take a nap. I encourage you to do it. If you get in trouble for it at work or uni, just say, Trish told me I could. my friends used to do it. They said at uni I'd be up the back at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and back at the lecture hall, curled up on the ground, like just having a little nap. They're like, oh, don't worry, it's just Trish. She'll be right. But I encourage you to do that. And again, we learn from other cultures, don't we? Some of the, like the Italian culture and all those kind of guys, they have their little afternoon rest. And that is important. It's important to build into our life. That's a few things in terms of those daily cycles and tapping into those daily cycles. Part of that as well, and this is all about, when we're talking about rest, we're not just talking about sleep. We want to live and move out of rest. Have you guys ever experienced that, where you've had like a mad, hectic sleep? And you get up and you're like, yeah, man, bring on this day. You guys are giggling, I know you experienced it. Imagine if you can live that almost every day. I prioritise my sleep, I prioritise my night. For the last 3 or 4 years, I haven't used an alarm, except for when I need to get like a 6 o'clock flight. And then I put it on as a backup. But for the last 3 or 4 years, I don't wake up to an alarm. You know that really annoying when you're in a nice little sleep and you hear bah, 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 bah. I'm awake. To not have to wake up to that is so liberating. And part of that is tapping into those natural daily cycles that we have. In terms of rest as well, in terms of nourishing ourselves, nourishing our bodies. God's given us 5 amazing gifts to do that. 5 natural gifts. What do you think they are? What was that?
Senses?
Well, we experience these with our senses. So the first one is water. What do you think the other 5? Think, what was that? What was his name? Captain Planet? Think Captain Planet.
Fire.
Yeah. Fire, water.
Earth.
Air. Good answer, but space. Okay. So those 5 things, again, contribute to our overall well-being. When you guys, and they're essential to healing our hearts and our minds in order to prepare us for our days ahead. So as much as possible, I want to encourage you guys to engage with those things, with those elements. Taking your shoes off whenever you see grass. I generally have a rule that on weekends I don't wear shoes. You're lucky today because it's actually a Thursday, so I've got shoes on today. But weekends I try and leave the shoes at home in order to connect with the earth, in order to feel that. How true is it? You can go days, weeks without actually touching the ground with your feet. Don't you reckon? With all our footpaths and all that kind of stuff. So again, that contributes to that rest. And the 3rd thing in terms of that is our prayer. And this is that rest for our spirit. My favourite psalm is Psalm 23. And I know it's a bit of a cliche because everyone's like, oh yeah, that's my favourite too. But Psalm 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. By tranquil streams he leads me to restore my spirit. It's absolutely central to who we are. And Christ goes with us there and sits with us there. And it's in him that we find rest. And the beauty of prayer is, you would have heard that little cliche thing, pray as he can, not as he can't. Yeah? That's the beauty of it. Our prayer can take lots of different forms. But at the heart of it, not only is it connecting us to Christ, it's restoring our spirit, it's restoring our mind, it's restoring our heart. And giving us that clarity and peace, Christ himself gives us his peace, again, to enter into our daily lives. Just say, one of the things, again, that can help us in our rest is having key things that we're engaging in with our life. How many of you guys actually move with clarity and purpose from different activities during your day? You don't have to put your hand up or respond to that. But do you ever get that feeling like you go on here, and then you go on there, and then you got to do this, and then you got like 500 things to think about?
Yep.
For me, part of my life, I don't cope living like that. So I had to change my life and make some decisions that enable me to put boundaries in place. So I actually move with purpose. Everything that I do in my day, I move with purpose. And it's connected to my vocation, the name by which God called me, the name by which I feel most alive. So for me, it's about being an expression of love to others. And so I can choose my activities, I can choose what I give myself to that contributes to me living out that vocation. And if it doesn't, then I say a big no. Thank you. And the good thing there... Yeah, I was brought up in manners. The good thing about it is... Actually, I forgot what the good thing about it was. But anyway, while we're on that point... What I want to encourage you to do is to think about, you can see this jar, and we can put these rocks in here, and I want to encourage you to think about what are the four big things that are the foundations of your life. The four big things. For me, it's prayer, it's movement, it's growth, and it's contributing to others. It's others. And when I put those four things in there, you can see that my life's pretty full already, isn't it? And I can fill that up if I want to. If I start pouring a whole bunch of sand in there, then it's going to fill up a little bit more. If I pour a whole bunch of water in there, it's going to be full again, isn't it? But the good thing is I have these four things that are guiding everything that I do. So I want you to think about that and think about what four things would you put as your foundations for your day? So that when you say yes to these, it makes it a lot easier to say no to other things. I'm actually skipping over quite a few things here because I want to get to your questions so that I'm actually tapping into what it is that you guys want to know. The second point about refueling. If I put out there to you guys, what's the difference between nutrition and nourishment? Hands up. What's the difference?
Nourishment is like feeling, like you would be like nourished, like I would like nourish Teresa.
Yes.
And then like nutrition is like eating and like what's the food that you eat?
Yeah, good. You are definitely absolutely on the right track. So when we talk about nutrition, we're talking about all the little the nutrients that make up a particular food, or the lack thereof, if you go on a KFC and your Macca's. When we talk about nourishment, it happens on a much deeper level. The foods that we eat and the environment or the experiences that we have around that, we talked about those healing gifts from God in terms of creation and nature, they nourish us. And when we're nourished, when we feel truly nourished, whether it be by our food, whether it be by our relationships and connection with others, whether it be by engaging with something that we're passionate about, when we're truly nourished, then we no longer crave those things that don't satisfy, that can't satisfy. That's true physically, mentally, and spiritually. When we're truly deeply nourished, because quite often it's Christ, it's Jesus that's filling us up in those moments. And unless we're pursuing that, then there's always going to be a hunger. We're always going to feel like we're lacking something. Yeah? So when you think about when we're thinking about nutrition and nourishment, refueling our bodies, it's a very different way when we think about it in terms of refueling our bodies in order to pursue the things of God. We can talk about those primary foods. And I know this can be a really tricky thing for you guys, particularly as young people. You just kind of do what you do. I was exactly the same until I made a choice. We do what we do without actually thinking about how it might affect us now or in the future. But in terms of refueling our bodies, it doesn't make sense to put things in there that don't belong. Our bodies are made up of some really key elements. Some people who have too much time on their hands, they invested a lot of money into calculating the composition of our bodies before they decompose, yeah? And when they added all those up in terms of the elements that make up our body, when they calculated all those up and sold them on the market, we come to a grand total of $4.50. So we're made up of 65% oxygen, 18% carbon, 10% hydrogen, 3% nitrogen, and then like a bit of calcium and phosphorus and potassium and sulfur and sodium and chlorine and magnesium and iron and all that cool stuff. So when we're talking about nutrition and what we're putting into our body to refuel it, why are we putting in colour 202 that I have no idea what that is? It's not the building block of this temple of the Holy Spirit that I'm living to live my life to the full. Full. Where did that come from? Full. Full. So again, that's a choice we make in terms of, I want to pursue the things of God. I need energy to do that. I need certain things in my body that's going to recreate my body in order to do that. And that's where we've got to start making some choices about, well, how do I refuel my body? I love dark chocolate. Absolutely dig it. And if there's a bit of mint in there, oh, happy days. Strawberries and Nutella, oh, mate. That's the food of champions right there. But I'll always fill up on the stuff that satisfies and nourishes me first. Loving my fruits and veggies and all those good stuff. Let me read to you. This is cool. I heard this at Mass the other day. You know Daniel? The prophet Daniel? Let me just, he's a good bloke. I reckon he would have gone on well with, he would have loved the barbecues, the fish barbecues on the beach with Pete and lads. I reckon I would have loved them too. I'm not very good at finding stuff in the Bible. I love the Bible, but I'm not very good at finding stuff. 1065, bear with me, sorry guys. Nearly there. 1058. Oh, look, I even put a bookmark in there. So I surprised myself. So Daniel, the champion, he was called into the service of the king at the time, right? And because they were like these special chosen people, they got to like feast out on the king's table. Anything they wanted. Like, you imagine it? Grapes. Nutella and strawberries. Pork belly. No, actually, it probably wasn't pork belly.
There's a possibility.
So Daniel, check this out, Daniel, who was determined not to incur pollution by food and wine from the royal table, begged the chief to spare him this defilement. So he said, please allow your servants 10 days trial, during which you are given only vegetables to eat and water to drink. When the 10 days were over, they looked better and fatter than any of the boys who had eaten their allowances from the table. And they became the most effective version, or the most effective servants of the king. So Daniel was like, nah, I'm not going all that fancy foody stuff. I'm eating the things that God has given me to eat, those natural foods that my body's made up of, in order to serve the king and God. And he came out better than all the others. I'm just glad, like, what I'm saying is, like, backed up by the lads in the Bible. Like, I'm like, yes, I must be on the right track. So again, a couple of things to think about, and you can go so deeply into this. But one of the main points from that is the value. This is going to seem, the value of water in our lives. You guys know that you're 60-65% water. And there's so many diseases that are caused by dehydration. Lots and lots of diseases that are caused simply by dehydration. Now, when we're eating drinking water and water-rich foods, we can eliminate a lot of these diseases. Quite remarkable. So if you guys got a pen and a paper there, for those of you that do, I just want you to quickly list all the things that you've eaten in the last 24 hours. Then once you've done that, I want you to circle all the foods that are water-based or water-rich. So I'm not talking about milk. I'm not talking about... I'm talking about fruits, vegetables, leafy greens, water itself. Circle all the foods that are water-rich. All right. Ding, 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 ding. Time up. Eyes this way. Now, couple of hands up. What percentage of that list have you circled? What percentage?
Zero.
Zero? 0%? All right. What percentage of that list, roughly? Is it half? 50%? 40%? Yeah. 22.5%? So we really know that water is the source of life. And that includes our spiritual life. We know that when we enter this world, we're baptized, yeah? We're cleansed through that sacrament of baptism. Like the symbolic nature of water. We know that you can stick stuff in water and stuff corrodes away. Like, it's one of the best corrosive devices that we have to clean stuff. We talked about that our body is 60% water. Our muscles are 75% water. Our brain and heart, 75% water. Our lungs, 80%. And our skin is 64%. So our body is screaming out for water. And essentially what we're doing, we are walking around dehydrated like raisins when we should be like grapes. Yeah? I want you to pass that around. Have a look at the difference. We're walking around like raisins. We've been walking around like grapes. So my final point about recreating. Our body is in a constant state of recreating itself. But in terms of recreating, and this is a really beautiful thing, as I said, our bodies are in a constant state of being recreated, both physically and spiritually. You're literally not the same person as you were 10 years ago. Physically, literally, you're not the same person as you were 10 years ago. And you know that in your heart, in your mind. You think differently, you see life a little bit differently. You've had many experiences that have formed and shaped you. But on a physical level as well, you guys are constantly being recreated. And again, this is the foundation. This is about reclaiming the power of our body. We want to be strong to be helpful. And I want to make something really clear. Some of the things that I'm talking about here, I want you to absolutely know that I'm not saying that you're not good enough just as you are. Because you absolutely are. You are perfect just as you are. But my point is that God always, always calls us on to more. We can never be comfortable in this little place of comfort. Those final words of Jesus, go out. And that's the same for every part of our life, going out, constantly moving forward. And in terms of recreation, you know, quite often you look around and you see people and they're like, you need to be training like an athlete. A lot of people are forced to train like an athlete when they're just not. For me, I change the words around, and again, it's that little play on words. Pray as you can, not as you can't. I say play as you can, not as you can't. If you hate running, don't run. If you sink and drown when you swim, don't go swimming. Find what you love to do, because part of this idea of recreating, of movement, and building movement into our day, is that we're expressing who we are. We're expressing who we are in that. A reflection of our Creator. And part of that whole recreation of movement is getting out and enjoying those healing elements that God has given us. Air, water, earth, space, fire. I don't encourage you to run through fire, that's not cool. But engaging with those natural elements, they're going to build us up and recreate us. What I'm going to get you to do, just before we finish, and invite you to ask some questions, I'm just going to get you to stand up. We're just going to focus on our breath for a minute. We're just going to get a little bit of oxygen into our heads. I'd encourage you to focus on your breathing. I'm going to invite you to breathe in for two. One, two, nice and deep. Hold for four. One, two, three. Breathe in for four. One, two, three, four. Hold. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Breathe out. Two, three, four. Breathe in for four. One, two, three, four. Hold. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Breathe out. Two, three, four. One more time. Breathe in for four. Two, three, four. Hold. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Four. That's a very simple thing that you can do at your start of the day, just to get you focused on your breathing, get that oxygen into your blood, and move into your day from a centered place. Take a seat for a second. I want to take some of your questions, then we're going to finish with some just another little activity about listening to your body, which is really important in terms of all of this. This is, as I said, this is taking a little bit different path than what I anticipated, but that's all right. So, do we have any questions out there? So, I'm conscious that sometimes when you come to these seminars, it's not what you expect. And you're like, oh, I didn't know she was going to talk about that. That was dumb. I just wasted an hour. What are some of your questions? Yeah.
Yeah, you talked about God's natural gifts, the five.
Yeah.
Space. What do you mean by space?
Like, yeah, good question. Good question. Yeah, if you want to expand it that far.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. When you're driving through the suburbs, when you're constantly living in the suburbs, hands up if you live in the suburbs. Hands up if you are surrounded by at least 5 acres. Cool. So you can see that most of you live in the suburbs. So when we talk about space, it's extremely restrictive to live in these environments. Four walls, a roof. For you who've just finished school, you've been sitting in a classroom, you get about an hour for breaks between lunch and recess. Working in an office space, all that kind of stuff, it's restrictive, isn't it? So when I'm talking about space, not only am I talking about getting out, so going for a drive on a Saturday, good old Sunday drive. Remember, get your white gloves on and your helmet and go for a nice Sunday drive. But get out in somewhere that has open space. Go and sit on a cliff face and look out over the ocean where you can't see any limits or boundaries. And not just that, it includes the environment in which we live. If you've got last week's dishes stacked up on your sink, one of the things that I do, I make sure, I miss it every now and then, but I make sure that I wash up every night before I go to bed. And when I wake up in the morning, I walk out of my sink and I'm about to make my breakfast, like, oh, yes, a clean sink. The other thing I do is make my bed first thing in the morning. So when I go to bed in the evening, it's inviting. It's an inviting place to be. Any of you guys who are artists would know that sometimes less is more. And they have that concept of white space. Or in design, interior design, they have a feature wall, which is usually a blank wall, yeah? Or something of that nature. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about space, giving your eyes a rest, essentially, and then that comes through in your whole being.
Tricia, a lot of the students here have been given a journal. Can you tell us a bit about your experience of journaling?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a journaler. I'm an introvert. I don't talk much. despite the fact I'm giving this seminar, for the last 2.5 days I've been preparing for this just like in my own little introverted way, just clearing my head, getting ready, because I knew there'd be a big demand on my energy. So in terms of journaling, it's a way for me of processing a lot of those emotions and things that I go through each day. But through that, so I've been doing this. I went to a retreat the other day, and a weekend. I bought a bag, a sports bag, and there was probably about 50 odd journals that I've kept for the last 12, 15 years of my faith journey. So I journal every single day. I reflect on my daily experiences in the evening or in the morning, and I see where God's been working. If you guys have a chance to go to the Ignatian workshop and prayer experience, I encourage you to do so, because it ties in beautifully with what we've been talking about here in terms of reflecting on your daily experiences, listening to your body, your heart, your mind, your body, your spirit, and writing that down, making that sense, and you can start to see where God's moving in your life. And that's the power of journaling. Not only does it help you to process, but it helps you to see where God's been moving in your life. Then you can start to move with clarity and with power and with purpose. I'm not sure if that... Yeah, thanks, mate.
What's something that you have to do every day to make your body feel ready for the day and to keep yourself going?
What's something that I personally do to keep myself going? It's actually probably those key things. Making sure I get good rest, so not just sleep rest, but rest during the day. Refueling it, so having the right stuff in there in order to do what I do. And then making sure that I have Trisho time. And that's the time that you are, your recreation time is as unique as you are. That's the cool thing about it. It can be all sorts of stuff. So it really is those three things that I make non-negotiables in my life that make me ready for the day. I go to bed at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then I'm up at like 5:30 with the sun. So, yes.
You're very good with discipline, would you?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, help me out.
With discipline.
Yeah.
A lot of it is that in terms of making decisions and sticking with it, or knowing what to do, or doing it despite not wanting to do it? Is that...
I think it's all of them.
All of them? Yeah. Okay.
Can you repeat the question for those at the back?
Yeah, sure. We were just talking about discipline when you're not particularly strong in the area of discipline. Being involved in things that require discipline is a good way to practice that. One of the, I've grown up in an environment of playing touch footy and team sports. So my discipline comes from a very young age. It came from committing to other people and having to show up and being relied upon and making that commitment. So I started to learn as I learned that. It then transfers, whatever you learn in that regard, it transfers into the rest of your life. And it really is just taking one step at a time. Part of it can be seeing discipline from another perspective. I heard an athlete who wears a slogan on her shirt, freedom through discipline. That's an interesting way of looking at it. Normally we feel restricted and limited by discipline, like it's something that doesn't allow us to be ourselves or whatever. But her approach, her understanding of it, was that she found freedom through discipline. I guess an example of that is that playing touch footy, one of the foundational kind of principles is your fitness, obviously. And when I was disciplined enough to complete the fitness that I needed to do, I could then play freely because I wasn't worried about trying to suck air in and survive and I could just, I was free to play. So part of it is seeing, well, what's your outcome that you're trying to achieve and making those little steps towards that in a really purposeful way. Does that kind of help? And that's kind of what you're talking about, what you guys were talking about in terms of decisions. When you have a big enough yes that you're saying yes to, then saying no to those other things becomes a lot easier. One such example, Father Dwayne sitting here, when he said yes to the priesthood, it makes it very easy to him, well, a lot easier for him to say no to other things, like relationships or like going out to the pub every night or whatever it is, because he's got this because he's got this big, solid yes. And that's sometimes where that discipline can come from, to have that goal and that thing that you're working to, and it's enough to draw you forward. Does that make sense? But we can chat about that a bit more if that hasn't quite answered your question.
The things that you've been talking about are things that you have complete control over, you know, like you're resting and refueling and recreating. What about things that you have no control over that can sometimes suck all of those things
from you? So, that's a good question. What comes to mind is I'm single, I'm living a single life. So these things become very easy in terms of my life structure. When you've got a family, family life is chaotic and you have no control over being, you know, making some of these choices. And I think the two things that come to mind, hey. The two things that come to mind is working out what it is that you're aiming for, but taking small steps towards that and having enough compassion for yourself to be okay with that, know that you're moving towards something. And the second thing is my relationship with God and that absolute trust in what it is that he's doing in my life in those circumstances. It can be a little bit, yeah, given that I don't know your circumstance or what it is that you're... Yeah, cool. Yeah. I have no idea what's going on in people's lives, so I can only respond in terms of that kind of thing. But I think they're the two biggest things: knowing what it is, having compassion, and again, that comes into our spiritual element of ourselves in terms of working towards that, and that relationship, that prayer, that time with God.
You say, like, to nourish yourself right, and I know what you mean by that, but I just wanted to kind of delve into what you mean by that word right, because I hate using that terminology around food. I hate it because that implies that food is either right or wrong, and I think that has made so many bad things happen in society that, you know, there is... so much has happened because we've used these labels to determine what food is. And I just want to know what your opinion is on nourishing your body, but also nourishing your mind. Like, if your mind is craving chocolate, is it healthy? Like, is it healthy to say no and deprive your mind of that, even though you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yeah, absolutely. I don't agree with, like, if you're going, yeah, I really feel like chocolate,
yeah,
then I encourage you to pursue that. And again, it comes into, you've got to tie this into those things of our virtues, don't you? Like temperance, self-control, and all that kind of stuff. All these things, our spiritual life affects the choices that we make in our physical life and vice versa. It's really, really important when you sit down to a family feast and they've got chocolate cake and they've got mum's apple crumble. Oh my goodness, you should taste mum's apple crumble. It's awesome. Come over one time, you're like, so welcome. Just hook me up. But to sit there and go, oh no, I can't have that. It's detrimental to who we are. Part of the enjoyment and the pleasure that we get from that is nourishing us. So you're absolutely right, there should not be a label in terms of right and wrong foods. What I'm saying there is filling ourselves with the stuff that our body contains already first, and then enjoying those pleasures keeping in mind those things of temperance and self-control and making good choices. Does that...
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Because I think our industry, like our world, forgets the importance of those things of virtues. So it's all tied into that as well.
You mentioned about those four sort of rocks, four things that you should keep for.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've determined what those are in your life. If for someone who hasn't determined what those things should be, how would you suggest in sort of discerning what those rocks should be, what is something that's really important and shouldn't be moved, and even the flow that happens as you go through different stages of life how that moves?
One of the important things in that regard is the fruits of the Spirit. So pursuing those things in light of the fruits of the Spirit, and where you find peace, where you find joy, where you find all those things, they're things to pursue and to put into your life. The other thing is being understanding in terms of discernment and practicing that in various aspects of your life. As I said, part of my discernment is about journaling. So watching where God's moving in that, and through my journaling, I've seen that those things are really important to me. As I journal, I was like, oh, you know, I didn't move today. I'm feeling absolutely crap. Oh, there's a little marker there, yeah?
You spoke before about like decision making and having like a trick to working out decisions.
Yeah.
I think was that like something that you were talking about just then with the discernment and journaling?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there something else that you could like suggest, or is that what you were going to talk about?
So all those key things. Knowing yourself is a really important one, and then you start to make decisions in light of that. That close relationship with God. And sharing God's heart is another way of making those good decisions. Because there's no right or wrong decisions necessarily. When we're talking about good things, there's no right or wrong decision. To eat blueberries or strawberries, there's no right or wrong decision. There's just a decision, and you go down that path. With your heart focused on pursuing the things of God, pleasing God, walking in the light of Christ, you know. So those things, and I've said again, having that big yes makes it a lot easier to make those smaller decisions.
Moving from Sultana to Great.
Yeah.
I look like I'm becoming fat and heavy. How do I cope with fear of change? Of changing things in our life and what that will be.
Fear of change. I think it lessens when you understand what that change is for and moving towards. When you are a circle and you want to become a triangle and you do all the triangle-y things and you try and fit into that mold of being a triangle, it doesn't work. If you then try and become a square, it doesn't work. That's the kind of change that you're fearing. But in terms of our relationship with God, in terms of that kind of change, the things that are changing in our life as a result of God's work in our life, it looks a little bit more like this. If you're a triangle, you start to become a pyramid. It's not change, it's transformation. And there's a big difference. When you focus on transformation and transformation in and through Christ, there is nothing to fear because you're encountering love in which there is no fear. Yeah?
That was Trish McCarthy with An Integrated Approach to Life. This talk is from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015. And was recorded as a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival, and for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.